welcome to this week's episode of Real Estate Served on the Rocks. On this week's episode, the guys talk about real estate scams that have been occurring across the country and how to identify red flags so you can avoid being a part of them, all while sipping and reviewing Bushmills, Prohibition Recipe, Irish Whiskey. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Real Estate Served on the Rocks, powered by Living in Colorado, The Mile High Perspective on YouTube, Fathom Realty, Keller Williams Downtown, and our wonderful and beautiful sponsor, the Rouge Wine and Bourbon Bistro in Greenwood Village. My name is Charlie Sardelli, and as always, I'm here with...
Jameson Amoros. What's
and, up, guys? Yeah, Oscar's not with us this week.
He is not.
Nope.
He is not. Oscar is doing Oscar things.
Doing business Oscar things.
He's doing Oscar-y things.
For those of you that are listening, just close your eyes and imagine Oscar with his hat on, sunglasses, yes, and some nice loafers on, good... khaki jeans, a button down,
yeah,
walking down the street.
Probably a vest.
Probably a vest,
yeah,
too.
Probably a vest.
Walking down the street, showing houses. And yeah, that's where he is right now.
I think so.
And guys, on this podcast, we talk about real estate, but we also drink and enjoy bourbon and whiskey. And this week is no different. Since we don't have Oscar on this week's podcast, we're going to kind of do an article episode.
Yeah.
It's some timely things going on when it comes to consumers. Guess what? We make the show for consumers.
Yeah, and not just articles about consumers. I mentioned this in the pre-video, but there's a fight to keep the Consumer Protection Bureau a thing. Which,
the thing that protects consumers?
Yeah, which came about and got its powers after 2008 and the Frank Dodd Act. And it might be going away. And that means consumers are at risk for less protection from a financial standpoint. We talk real estate, so we're going to talk about some things that can affect you as a home buyer, home seller, home owner, and some scary shit that to look out for. Because
I didn't even think one of these
prevalent,
was possible,
bro. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's wild. It's
not
wild
to tease it, but basically, if you own vacant land, be careful. And if you signed random listing agreements that give you $1,500 up front, be careful. But we'll
be
talk
very
about
careful.
It.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there. All right. So, like I said, not only do we talk about real estate, try and bring the consumer some information, but we drink bourbon and whiskey.
And by order of the Peaky Blinders.
What are we drinking?
We're drinking Bushmills.
Yeah.
Irish whiskey.
Irish whiskey.
Non-chill filtrated, triple distilled. I think it's the first, this is the first Irish whiskey we've had.
This is, yes. Mm-hmm.
And for those of you watching, Charlie's got on his smoker's cap, which if you watch Peaky Blinders, like 99.9% of the population, it matches, right? It's like the quintessential look
1%
of,
here
of the Irish gangs, right? Yep. In London. Mm. And Charlie, you've never seen Peaky Blinders.
I have not. I know.
Roast him in the comments, guys.
We're adding to the list of things Charlie has not seen.
In the comments. Unbelievable.
Well, just to give a little bit of a background, Bushmills is a staple when it comes to Irish whiskey. So they started back in the 1500s, actually, in the town of Bushmills. And this is when distilling was still kind of underground. And in order to please the crown, in 1608, they formed their distillery and went legal and went right. They righted the ship. And this is their prohibition mash, their bill that we're drinking today. So this is going to be their original from 1608. And I'm excited because, again, like all I know of Irish whiskey really is Jameson. So
thank you very much.
So I don't know. I'll be honest with you straight up. The color on this thing is not appealing.
No, it looks like apple juice.
Yeah, it does. it's extremely light. And what is it, 3 year?
Aged at a minimum 3 years.
Minimum and 3 years.
92 proof.
92 proof, yeah. So this is probably going to be like the entry level of the entry levels when it comes to Irish whiskeys. But
we gonna see.
We try and drink through everything so you guys know when you come to the Rouge what to have and what not to have.
Right.
And just as a reminder, everything that we drink on this show, the Rouge Wine and Bourbon Bistro not only supplies to us, but they have it on the shelf here. Mm-hmm. And you can come, taste them, try it out. But on that note, one thing that I want to point out about Bushmills is, you know, we talked a little bit about the history, kind of 1608 forming, and then they've gone through a bunch of different iterations. The Rick House, the distillery, actually burnt down in the early 1800s, and they rebuilt it. Their most recent change, though, and I give them some credit, they just opened a second distillery for the first time in their entire time being a distillery, I guess?
In existence.
In existence. Yeah. And the entire distillery is ran on green energy.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
Not one bit of electricity in the distillery. And then a secondary pretty cool note on this guy is the master taster, the master blender. Her name is Alex Thomas, and she joined Bushmills in 2012, but she became a distiller in 2021. And she took over in 2021 as the master blender. So pretty cool. There was one other company that we had. Can you remember which one it was?
Uncle Nearest, baby.
Uncle Nearest, yep. And that Uncle is Nearest. A full woman-owned distillery. So it's cool. It just goes to show. We talk about this all the time. Whiskey and bourbon is swinging in.
Yes.
Like, everybody's involved. Because for so long, people think bourbon, hairy-chested men with beards and mustaches.
Or cowboy hats.
Or cowboy hats, right?
With the saloon doors.
Yes, exactly. And it wasn't really known as a cocktail that a lot of females partake in. But I know my wife loves bourbon and whiskey, and it's just been, the door's been open.
Yeah.
That scares me. You got your nose in it.
No, it's not. It's interesting.
Okay, let's see.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Right?
Oh, boy.
Like, I'm getting apple cider.
Do we have...
Like, I'm getting a lot of apple cider.
I feel so pretentious. This smells like an entry-level whiskey.
By order of the Peaky Blinders. Now, granted, this is probably what they drank in 1608.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't have the technology that the knowledge that we have now. So this is basic. We're just
this
going...
This is basic, yeah.
We're
this
going
is,
back to bare bones,
roots,
baby.
Yep, okay. This is the roots.
All right,
it
so...
It is so...
It's so
light.
Great. All right. Even you would think 3 years would be...
Like, if I put this in front of my daughter, I think she would
think
it's
apple
juice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, the legs on it are good,
yes.
Right? So if you look at the acidity, it holds.
It's the nose is weird.
Right? Very apple,
it's
citrus,
sweet. Yeah.
And sweet.
Sweet. The obviously, it's a 92, so the alcohol is not going to come through as much, but... I'm getting a little bit of like...
I feel like I need a straw.
A little bit like plum.
Yeah.
Like that peachy kind of plum.
But I also don't know what triple distilling a whiskey does to the profile.
So I am interested.
It should be very, very
this should be
smooth.
Heavy on the palate.
I was going to say.
Because remember, the less processed it is, the more oils are in it?
Yeah, but it's also triple distilled.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is it going to be... Okay. So maybe we have to make a distinction here. Is it... If we say like light on the palate, does that have to do with the oils and the weight on your tongue, or does that have to do with the?
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying, because I feel like
it's gonna be
if it's triple distilled, it would be heavier because it doesn't have as much oil in it.
Cheers, buddy.
Cheers.
Let's see what happens.
I love it.
It's all my right. mantra in real estate. Just see what happens.
Okay.
More complex than I thought. Well,
yes, that's the first thing that came
more
to
more complex
mind
than I thought.
There's more flavor to it.
There is. It is.
It is heavy.
Heavy
on the
palate.
It is
with
heavy
the oils.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It does sit heavy
it
on
sits.
The tongue. There's this. Dare I say, there's this peatiness to it,
mm-hmm.
like this that dryness. I'm getting, okay, almost like a honey, just on the middle of the tongue, on the front, a little bit of spice, and I can't tell if that peat is from the wood or not. I'm thinking that's the barrel.
It's got to be the barrel.
I'm thinking that's the barrel. That just that tongue tightening.
I had it like literally an apple dipped in honey.
Yeah. Yeah. This and is what, honestly, the nose plays really well into the...
Correct.
Into
it's the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this is, if you just base it off of the nose and the color,
mm-hmm.
I would expect to just...
Oh, yeah. Put it back. Absolutely.
But it's actually got some complexity to it.
Interesting. I'm excited to see how it opens.
Huh.
So, okay. So we got our tasting in. Let's...
Watch, we're like completely
we're
wrong.
Yeah, completely wrong.
It's like, it's actually bacon.
Okay. So... Hey, so bold and tasting notes, bold and uncompromising, delivers a rich medley of barley, honeycomb, and baking spice that leads into rye bread, orange marmalade, and toasted almonds.
Okay.
Not getting the almonds.
Not getting the
get
almonds.
Get the rye bread, get the marmalade.
Yeah, the almonds, no.
The baking spice, maybe on the tip
of
my tongue.
On the very front,
yeah,
yes,
maybe
the
on the front end. So the aroma, barley, fresh oats, and honeycomb, which would make perfect sense for the sweetness. Taste, bold, bursting with orange marmalade and almond.
They're saying orange. I'm still getting apple, but
it's yeah.
You know, like citrusy. More, I don't know if it's bursting.
Maybe it's sweet. No, not bursting.
No, yeah, it's more like a.
The finish, long finish, full of zesty citrus oils and vanilla bean.
Okay.
I'm getting very subtle vanilla bean.
I would go like vanilla extract where it's not that, it's not like cake vanilla.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's like, oh, because vanilla has a very specific smell to it.
Interesting though. I say vanilla and then, it's so weird how your brain can just switch it on.
I mean, I'd go 1600s gangster on some people with this.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'd walk in with the cap.
Yeah, it's have to buy a cap.
Yeah. I got multiple.
Yeah, I might need to borrow one. I do have to be clean shaven though, because I think they're clean shaven or just the mustache.
Yeah, Elisa is wanting me
which
to.
Which I can't do the mustache.
Grow out the beard, so that's why I'm looking burly.
Yeah, I've done the just the mustache before.
Yeah. Nope, no.
Apparently people like it. I'm like, who the fuck is that in the mirror? It's not good.
It's not, I don't
know. No,
I don't
dude, it. No, I couldn't do it.
We went to Casa Bonita last week.
Oh.
Yeah. Fantastic, my second time there. But going with somebody who knows South Park made it even better.
Yeah.
But I say that because we were walking around and it was like a blast from the past.
Yeah.
And I went to go get an ale and they have the Bonita ale.
Uh-huh.
Horrible. So I was like, hey, let me get a cocktail. Horrible. The food is great. Bartending's a little meh. So don't get bourbon.
Did the ticket price change based on where you sat?
No, okay, so they changed it recently.
Okay.
So they did go to table ordering. They
got it.
That first when they reopened, they were that cafe style where you walk through.
But then what I'm saying is like, because if you go to reserve, there's like different prices.
There's different, yeah. So the premium is where you get seated in front of the divers.
So you can see the
grill. So you can watch the,
Got it. Okay.
But if you haven't been to Casa Bonita, sorry, I went off a little tangent. No, if you haven't been to Casa Bonita, go.
I do get a little sopapilla in this.
Yeah.
With that honey. You know what I'm saying? Raise
I think that's flag. Where my brain went.
Raise a little flag.
Honey. Yeah.
That's the fair part.
Have you been?
Not since it reopened.
The puppet show is phenomenal.
No, the last time I went to Casa Bonita, I almost got jumped in the parking lot in the 7-Eleven across the street trying to fill up my car. And I was like, you know what? I'm not coming back here.
I love it. I love it. All right. So talking about protecting yourself in a parking lot, like we said, there's been rumblings going on, a lot of talk going on with the current administration about getting rid of the Consumer Protection Bureau or agency. And what that does is it stops credit card companies from overcharging you late fees, and it stops other companies from making crazy contracts that you don't want to read all the way through but has fine print that's going to hurt you in the end. And obviously, guys, that's a very blanketed statement for what it does. But just want to get you to understand that it is focused.
The best, speaking of South Park, the best example of that is the episode where they riff off the Human Centipede.
Yep.
But they do it on the iTunes disclaimers.
Yep.
And nobody reads it. And they just, oh, yeah, just accept the terms and conditions.
and then it becomes showed.
The
Human Centipede. Exactly. Yep. So, like I said, we're going to kind of step back and we've been pretty hard on the topics the last couple of episodes. So we're going to pull two articles.
Two, yeah.
That really
two just crazy.
Yeah, they blew our mind.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's consumer focused.
Yes.
That I think it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so Jameson, what is the first article? What is the headline?
The headline of the first article is, vacant land is very easy to steal. Scammers are impersonating landowners and selling their properties. Okay, that's the headline. And then right underneath that, it says, the FBI reported a 500% increase in vacant land fraud over the last 4 years.
You know, it's funny because when you say it, I'm thinking eminent domain or not eminent domain, squatter's rights.
Yes.
Right? Where basically you grow something on the property, you stay on the property for a certain amount of time, then that becomes yours. But what you're saying is people are listing these plots of land and selling them without the owner knowing.
Correct.
Hmm.
And it's a pain because technically it's obviously a fraudulent sale, right?
Yeah.
And so the actual landowner has to file a civil lawsuit. And 99% of the time, they get that land back, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's such a pain in the ass, and it's time consuming, and you have the legal fees and all these different things to take into account. But what's happening is, and if you think about it, right, it's a lot easier to do this on vacant land than it would be on, you know, a vacant property, because vacant land, most people that own vacant land, they don't live in the same area. They're not checking on the land.
Hi, my name's Charlie, and I own land in New York that I haven't been to in 10 years.
And there could be somebody that utilizes this strategy to say, hey, I really need to sell this land. And they contact a real estate agent. I've gotten calls like this about, hey, I need to sell my plot of land. But you have to verify who owns it. And there's plenty of ways to do it. Some people don't.
Huh.
And they just have fraudulent, you know, documentation. And it's obviously very lucrative, because this scam, as stated in the article, goes from Canada all the way to Vietnam. Like, as far as the international trade of illegal documentation and forging title documents.
So does it say in there, is this all done digitally?
Yes and no. So basically, how do I want to do this? So what the scam looks like is an insurance agent, right? Or sorry, a real estate agent will get suddenly reached out to by somebody saying, hey, in this specific scenario, it was, my wife's really ill and we need proceeds from the land sale to pay her medical bills. So we need to sell this property ASAP, right? Real estate agent goes through and says, okay, yeah, I need your documentation, your IDs to make sure you own the property. They then get the documentation and the IDs made of the actual people that own the property, right? Mm-hmm. So the faces are the same, the names are the same, but the addresses are different. They send them in. Okay, cool. I've got the driver's license. Let me go find a buyer. Okay. Now the agent finds a buyer. The buyer goes, awesome, I'm going to buy this property. A lot of times it's under market value because they just want the sale to go through. Mm-hmm. In this case, it was a piece of land that was worth $140,000, right? They go under contract. And then once it gets to title, the seller says, hey, I need to split off the payments into two different bank accounts. And that's when title all of a sudden starts going, well, wait a second, where is this money going? But at that point, it's so far down the line. Mm-hmm. And again, if you're the actual owners of the land, you don't get alerted that your title's changing hands.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea.
Yep.
So then this whole thing could go through, right? New buyers are now on that land. And then in 10 years, that seller could turn around and go, okay, I want to sell my land now, or I want to go build on it finally. And they find out they don't own it anymore.
Hmm.
Now they have to file a civil lawsuit. And now the buyers, who also didn't know, are all of a sudden kicked out of this land. Now they have to file a lawsuit because they're going to have to get their money back because they bought a piece of land that wasn't actually up for sale.
That's so crazy. And the first thing that comes to mind is all that land down South Colorado, Southwest Colorado,
yes.
Alamosa, San Juan. I just saw an ad legitimately this morning where it was like 42 acres for $36,000.
Mm-hmm.
Right, a water line or a river run right through the middle of the property. And my question is, a 500% increase in 4 years. What changed? Why?
Well, I can infer from this article. I think what happens is, right, there's always going to be people that want to take advantage, right? And over the last 4 or 5 years, everything went digital because of COVID, right? DocuSigns, all these different things. And what they're saying is those criminals, those fraudulent, those imposters, as
imposters.
They say, have become very sophisticated with DocuSign, impersonating public notaries, and other processes as far as how the title goes.
And it goes
through.
Hand in hand with the wire fraud that we've seen increase in the last 5 years.
Yes.
So let's talk about this then. For example, I have land that is legitimately over 2,800 miles away from me, and I haven't visited it in a good amount of time. How, as a homeowner, as a landowner, do you stay up on things like that?
So there's a couple of things you can do, but again, you're relying on the county and the city, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could go to the assessor's office and say, hey, I need you to do me a favor. Put this in my file that if there is any request for title on my piece of property, I need you to alert me. Send me an email, something, saying somebody's either requesting what we call an O&E, as far as like, okay, let's see where the liens are, or a title company is requesting information from the assessor's office. I would like to know, because if it's not me doing it, I need to know ASAP, right? And then from a buyer's standpoint, you really have to rely on your agent.
Yep.
and have to, like, because the agent becomes the gatekeeper, mm-hmm. right? So realistically, if all of a sudden you're like, man, this vacant land seems too good to be true, start asking questions.
Well, and see, honestly, this is where I we talk about it all the time, comes down to the realtor that you're using, right? And at the end of the day, I can't imagine going through a transaction and not mm-hmm. not knowing that my seller is not
correct,
is not the right seller. And the reason I bring it up is because it just shines the light on it for everybody listening that's not in the real estate industry, not a real estate mm-hmm. agent. If you're an agent and you get a seller that reaches out to you and says, "Hey, I have land for sale. I need you to find me a buyer." You have an opportunity to be a selling agent, a buyer's agent, or what we call a transaction broker. Mm-hmm. So as an agent, I think this is, I mean, I want to know how they're targeting these agents that they're calling, because it says they're calling agents directly. So do you think that they're looking at like lower producing agents, or they're just shotgunning?
I think they're doing a little bit of both, but I think they're shotgunning.
Yeah.
I really do.
Because I can see somebody, especially with the drought that it's been real estate the last couple of years. I can see an agent getting that phone call and just being so ready to get the sale done 100%. That they're just running with it and they don't take the proper checks. Yeah.
So that being said, what are some things to do if you are an agent mm-hmm. and you get this phone call? Number one, if you can, meet the person.
Video call.
Video call or in person at the property. Mm-hmm. If you can't do that, you as an agent should go to the property, right? And come up with some questions that somebody that's familiar with that land knows. Hey, can you tell me a little bit about the trees on the northeast corner? They look like oaks. Oh, yeah, no, they're oaks. They've been there for hundreds of years. And you're looking at the property and there's no fucking trees. Mm-hmm. That's a red flag. Number two, make sure that if it is something, normally these scams start with a reason for why they have to sell so quickly.
Yep.
Right? Because if you do your public record and say, hey, these people have held on this land for 20 years, why all of a sudden are they, you know,
the taxes are $130 a year. Why the hell are they in such a...
Exactly. You can verify the chain of title through the assessor's office, mm-hmm. right? You can verify I can use my title up, say, hey, I'm looking at listing this property. I need to spend $5 and I'll get an O&E. It'll give me the mortgage company. I can call the mortgage company on behalf of the sellers and say, hey, I just want to verify names, addresses, et cetera. And if the addresses don't match, guess what? That's another red flag, right? Like it's a due diligence thing.
And that's what I was about to say was it seems so simple. Yeah. And it is like, and I don't know if they mentioned an agent's name on there, but that agent it should be publicly shamed.
Well, I mean, they do. They absolutely do. Yeah. Huh. Her name is Shaw. So, and I'll just give you kind of what she went through, right? So the property that she was being asked to sell was actually owned by a couple from Texas. When the driver's license arrived, they had the names of the real owners, but the wrong addresses, and they turned out to be totally fake. She said everything looked fine. She listed land, received multiple offers. No one had any reason to believe there was a scam at play. No one suspected it. Not the attorneys, not myself, not the title company. Highest offer is $140,000, and the seller accepted immediately, provided paperwork showing he had gotten the deed notarized at the U.S. Embassy in Vietnam, which to me, that's also a red fucking flag.
Yeah.
Payment arrangements were made. Yeah.
They live in Texas and they got a Vietnam. Come on, man.
Payment arrangements were made with the seller asking for the $140,000 to be split evenly across two bank accounts. The title company had trouble submitting the second payment, which was the first warning they apparently got that something was
so they already got 70 grand before they got flagged.
But the 70,000 already had gone through, the seller vanished, and the new buyer now is owning kind of land that they don't actually own.
All right, I'm gonna outright say it. This is the shit that makes realtors look so bad.
Agreed.
I'm sorry, but absolutely she just agreed. That is the lowest amount of due diligence that you can possibly fucking do. Legitimately saw a dollar sign, quick money, and was like, oh, yep. I'm sorry, but what do you mean? Vietnam, the wrong...
Dude, I know.
The wrong address?
Like, again, you can... Everything, when you own a property, right? Yeah. Unless you have it under an LLC, under a family mm-hmm. trust, buried on an offshore account, which most people don't, especially if it's a $200,000 piece of property, you can go up and look up the most recent tax bills.
Yeah.
You can then reverse...
Search
mm-hmm. the phone numbers, the addresses. Oh, you can call the notary. And say, hey, just out of curiosity, did you sign this?
Bro, I've seen some dude on the internet find somebody's location based off of a street sign.
Oh, that
had blurred, like, come on. It's there. And at the end of the day, I'm sorry, Miss Shaw, But you failed the client.
I agree.
At this point. That is 100% a realtor issue.
And here's the deal, right? This is the kicker of what she said. Again, I don't know this person from Adam. This is somewhere on the East Coast. Right?
I don't need to know him. So you're shit.
This is what she said. If you have a piece of property that someone wants to sell and it's vacant property, really, really get your feelers up. That's her advice. Right? Like, what?
Hold on.
Is this a Bug's Life? What the fuck?
No first name, right?
Lisa.
Okay.
I've got her picture.
That's her? Of course she works for Remax. Lisa Shaw, Remax. Oh, she came up.
So here's ready.
Check this. She has 5 stars on Google.
Dude, check this out. So here's the other piece of this, right? I didn't even read this part of the article. And again, I'm not shaming, but like, just be better, right? when she was contacted by a Canadian citizen living in England to help sell his Randolph, New Jersey plot of land. Oh, by the way, this is in New Jersey.
So
you got a Canadian citizen living in England, owns a piece of random property in New Jersey that got the deed signed in Vietnam at a U.S. embassy.
Questions? This is what happens when you give an older generation technology.
Jesus Christ,
like,
dude.
This is legitimately just the house version of the guy trying to get your cell phone on Craigslist.
Yes.
Like, the same exact scam.
Same exact thing.
The only thing, they didn't ask her for a deposit.
Right.
Like, they didn't ask her to front money.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Right?
That is...
So anyway, if you... So to kind of summarize from a seller's standpoint, if you own vacant land...
She's been an agent for almost 20 years.
I know. If you own vacant land, go to your local county's office and see if they can set up a title alert for your property. That will alert you anytime anybody requests any information on the title to your land, which they have to do if they are going to turn around and fraudulently try and take it.
Who wrote the article?
As a seller, do that. As a buyer and you're purchasing property, make sure your agent is doing their due diligence and can prove without a doubt who actually is selling that piece of property.
The more stacks up against... Because she wanted the buy and the sale side. She got the buy side too, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that, okay. Wow.
So.
All I'm saying is she's got 5 stars on Google.
And oh, by the way, if you're the buyer, you also can look up property tax bills. You can look up the assessor's
office. It's literal public information.
Like, just do a little bit more research. Just a tiny bit.
Especially as we get into these markets that are going to be tougher.
Yes.
If we do see these recessions where homes are sitting, property is sitting, then it'll be easier for you to bite on things like this.
Correct. Yeah.
So do your due diligence.
It now. Anytime you sell, you know, if I get somebody into a property within, you know, 2 weeks, there's a reason that, like, you're not allowed in Colorado, and I believe this is nationwide, right? You're not allowed to do wire transfers unless you are physically speaking
on the phone
to the title rep in the office. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that, right? Mm-hmm. Because once that title's gone or a quick claim deed is filed, like, you have to file a lawsuit to get that back. And it becomes very, very difficult and time consuming and financially distressing.
Well,
it's crazy.
Yeah, not only that, it's like what it takes for you to get anything back. Like, what people don't realize, and let me just break this down for you. The reason that, like, this wiring fraud and wiring money is such an issue is because legally you have no recourse when it comes to things like this. And what I mean by that is, if you are willingly inputting your information, even if it's under a false pretense, if you are willfully putting in that information and initiating a transfer to that bank account, it is one of the hardest things legally for you to get that money back, because they go, you knowingly and willfully did this, and we can't really track the money, because most of the time it's on a third level LLC, whatever it may be. So just please, please, please do your due diligence, whether you're buying or selling, because we are going to see more scams like this happening. And as with what happened with NAR, with the commission things, it is now even easier for this to happen because you can have companies that are now advertising on billboards, whatever it is, through these, buy your house cash straight up. No worries. Don't do that. Be weary of those and emails. Please, guys, please, please, please.
If it sounds too good to be true.
Yes, but
it is.
But look, case in point, I want to know how old she is, because I feel like anybody below 30 would have seen that and been like,
yes or no.
I know you.
I also think it depends on experience, right? My whole thing is she's been doing it for 20 years.
Yeah.
And didn't see that as red flags, that's concerning.
Yeah.
Because if she's not seeing it and you get somebody that may be their first or second deal,
mm-hmm.
dude, you're in a world of hurt.
You're left.
You're in a world of hurt.
Absolutely.
Right? So
it's just, and it sucks that, you know, there's
always going to be people.
It's predatory.
Always,
you know, but at the end of the day, again, guys, this is why we say it all the time. It is one of the largest assets monetarily that you will ever own. Right. That is why it is such a prime target.
Yep.
Especially vacant land.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not visiting it. There's nothing built on it. You don't really think about it.
No.
And then, oh, I'm going to flip it. I can flip it. Oh, yeah, let me buy this. Just please. And if you have any questions, if you're going through a transaction, if somebody calls you that they want to buy your house, anything like that, call us.
Yep.
It's free to talk to us, and we'll 100% break it down for you. So that article's wild. I can't believe that.
This one's even better.
Yeah. No, this... And it sucks that Oscar's not here because he actually has
experience with
legitimately
this.
Touch on this.
Yes.
And I mean, he went all the way to the
second. He had to.
Like, the,
he
what was
to.
It? The Secretary
the
of State?
Secretary of State.
Secretary of State for Colorado for this. All right. So, second article. Jameson, go ahead and drop this lifelong one on us.
Okay. Well, so let's do this first. Anytime you go to sell your house with an agent in Colorado, and this is interesting because this happened in Colorado from 2021 to 2024. Anytime you go to sell your house and you're using a realtor, you sign what's called an exclusive right to sell listing agreement, which details out a lot of different things, right? It'll detail out the price. It'll detail how you gain access to the house. It'll detail the listing period. It will detail things like a holdover clause, and the seller has to sign it saying, hey, I am working with this realtor to sell this property. At the completion of the sale, I am agreeing to pay the realtor X amount for their fee, whatever that is, because again, it's always negotiable, right? That's what that is. It's called a listing agreement. Everybody signs it. You can't list a house with a realtor without it. And that's to protect the consumer and to protect the realtor, mm-hmm. right? But this is why you want to make sure you go over those, because I don't even know how to start this article. Basically, there was a company that was headquartered supposedly in Florida called MV Realty. And what they did, and I've had something similar happen to a client of mine, they seek out distressed families, whether it's medical bills, whether it's pre-foreclosure, whether it's late back taxes, whether it's anything, right? Just they go, okay, this person needs money now. So what they do is they basically receive, the homeowner receives a text from MV Realty saying, that if they sign a contract to have MV Realty list their home, they will give the seller, regardless of when they decide to list their home, $1,500 cash up front.
I'm going
to
pay you to let me sell your house.
$1,500, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this lady that was interviewed needed money to pay medical bills for her father, right? She got contact. She did not reach out to this company. They found her on some sort of list that said, oh, this person might be distressed, blah, blah, blah. They reach out and say, hey, if you sign this listing contract, we're just trying to get into the market. But what we do that's different than anybody else, we'll actually pay you for the right to sell your house when you sell it. Right? So she actually gets $1,500 wired to her. It's real money. She then uses that money and she ends up paying off these medical bills, whatever. She told the people, hey, I'm not looking to sell my house anytime soon. And they go, that's fine. We're just trying to get into the market. Helps us with our data and how the market works in this specific area, blah, blah,
you
blah.
You just
blah,
got to sign right? this contract.
You just have to sign this contract that we'll list your home. You'll use us to list your home when you decide to sell it. All right, sounds good. For context, when I have somebody sign a listing agreement, we decide for how long that is. Usually mine's anywhere from 3 months to a year, mm-hmm. right? But I also tell my clients up front, if you want to fire me, then fire me. I'm mm-hmm. not going to be holding you to a deal, right? But what that listing agreement does is when it is signed, if within that 3, 6, 9 months that I have that listing agreement, if they decide to use another realtor and sell that property, I am entitled to the commission because that was the compensation client that we agreed upon because that's what the contract said, mm-hmm. right? So what happened here, she gets $1,500 from this real estate company. A year later, she goes, I'm ready to sell my property. Calls them. Guess what happens?
She doesn't get anything back.
Well, nobody answered the phone.
Mm-hmm.
So then she emailed them. Guess what happened?
Nothing.
Nothing. No answer. So then she looked them up online. Guess what happened?
Nothing.
Nothing, right? Listed a storefront or a headquarters in Centennial, Colorado.
Hey-o.
So guess what she did?
Called them.
No, she drove there, went to the storefront. Guess what was in the storefront?
Absolutely everything.
Vacant.
Oh, my God.
Completely vacant.
That's right? Wild.
Completely vacant. So then she goes, okay, well, they must have gone out of business. Thanks to the $1,500, let me call my other realtor, and I want to list my house. So list the house with another realtor. They sign another listing agreement.
How long was it? You said it was a year before she sold?
A year.
So she signed the contract, did nothing for an entire year. Got it.
Yep. Uses another agent. They end up getting the house under contract. The day after that contract closed, she gets a summons for a lawsuit filed by MV Realty for $20,000 saying that she was in breach of contract.
But it was a year since she signed the contract. They didn't answer the phone call.
Correct.
So what are you talking about?
Doesn't matter because she signed the contract. And what she failed to realize, and this is why it is very important to go over contracts, that listing agreement that they had her sign saying, if you sell your house, we are your agent, not for 6 months, not for 9 months, not for 2 years. That listing agreement was good for 40 years.
Jesus.
So if you guys haven't figured it out, that's what the scam is. We're going to give you $1,500 for you to sign this contract saying we're going to be your realtor. We're going to gloss over the fact that this listing agreement is going to be in place for 40 years. So if you ever sell your house between now and 40 years from now, yeah, we gave you $1,500, but as soon as you sell it with another agent, we're going to come after you for the compensation that you agreed and signed for the next 40 years. So how do they do that? Right? Because they're out of business.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So this is how they did it. What they did was, which is this crazy. Once that listing agreement signed, they give a copy to the county clerk and they file a memorandum basically saying, hey, just so you know, let us know when this title changes hands so that we can go ahead and file a lawsuit saying you're in breach of contract and now you owe us the compensation that you're already paying out of your proceeds to the other agent.
I don't see any protections legally.
Here's the crazy part. If the homeowner passes away, that memorandum and that listing agreement is not tied to the homeowner. It's tied to the property. So in that 40 years, if the original person that signed it passes away, and then 30 years later, the son or the daughter or the state sells it, mm-hmm. and they use somebody else, that memorandum hits, county clerk goes, hey, MV Realty, this got signed, it changed titles, boom, lawsuit, here you go.
That is wild. And something that I want to point out, and this is a little bit of back behind the curtain information, so as realtors, we have a set template for our contracts, and that is because this is a huge transaction legally. So realtors, we all use a set out contract that has been written by real estate law, by real estate lawyers, and is reviewed yearly, biannually, and quarterly, and is updated regularly. And we have to go, you guys always hear about agent, we always have to go to real estate classes to keep up on our education. That is a main part of our classes, is getting updated on these contract changes and how they change. So just know that if you have somebody that, like MV Realty, that comes to you and says, we do things a little bit differently around here, that should be your first like, okay, hold on, what do you mean? And the reason I bring that up is because we actually dealt with Orchard, right? And this was a year and a half ago, 2 years ago now, where You had referred a client to me that was a buyer client, and they were utilizing Orchard. And what Orchard did to them was they said, hey, we're going to sell your property for a lower commission, something like 1%, 1.5%, 2%. But you have to use us on the buyer side.
Correct.
Right. And this buyer, we went to showings, everything. They didn't realize that that was on the paper that they signed. In that paper that they signed to work with Orchard, it stated that if they did use a different agent, then they could be the same exact thing.
Right.
They could come after them, or they would have to charge them a higher commission, like an 8% or 9% commission.
Which is insane.
It was wild, right? And so the reason I say that is because just it's not going to seem like this, where it was like, oh, I'm calling, there's nobody there.
Right.
They're going to make it look legit. They're going to sound legit. And yeah, can you sell with Orchard? 100%. But it's such a different, and this is where it gets a little bit more manipulative.
Yes.
Where if you're not reading those contracts, if you have some brokerage that, I'm going to sell your property for 1%, the first thing you ask is, what's the catch?
Correct.
Like, that's it. Because nobody's going to do it for nothing.
Right.
Like, no, I'm sorry, nobody's going to work for nothing. And these agents are incentivized by these companies. They get a certain amount of money per listing. So these companies are legitimately just using agents' licenses in order to perpetuate these sales. So just stay vigilant on it. And the reason I bring up the contract stuff is because I just want you guys to know that this is all checked regularly.
Well, and here's the thing with the contract, right? Like, the wording, mm-hmm. I could go out right now.
Yeah.
And I could have an agreement with somebody and have them sign the current listing contract mm-hmm. for 40 years.
Yep.
And if I don't disclose that, well, technically you're the one that signed the contract. It's predatory, 100%. Mm-hmm. And I would never do that, right? But it's not even like, well, they're taking advantage and they're giving you a different listing contract than what you would normally get from a realtor. It is the same paperwork. They're just putting the listing agreement to expire in 2047. Yep. And then sending that addendum to county clerk and then sitting back going, we don't give a fuck if you mm-hmm. use us or anybody else, because as soon as that title transfers between now and 2065, I'm going to file a lawsuit, and that $1,500 that I gave you, I'm going to turn into 20 grand.
It's crazy.
Right? Or because it's a percentage, if that house is now worth $2 million and they mm-hmm. don't sell it for 30 years, guess what? That 20 grand turns into 50 grand
yep.
on a $1,500 deal. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's very, very scary. Yep. And we'll go through the three red flags of what to look for if you're specifically in distressed position to sell your home, right? I dealt with it with a client, mm-hmm. that same thing. Somebody came to him, said, hey, here's a lifeline. He took it and it ended up making his home almost impossible to sell, okay? But this is the sobering comment from one of these victims. And to give you guys a number, within those 4 years, there were over 900 homeowners that are currently, to this day, locked into 40-year listing agreement contracts, okay? This is what Panchetta Chavez said to this article when they were asking about it. She goes, I will have to die in my home unless I can find a way to get out from under this contract.
Who? Judge. MV Realty can no longer enforce controversial correct. 40 years.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
But they talk about this and they say the problem is it's very difficult for legislation
yes.
to attack contract law mm-hmm. retroactively. They can do it moving forward, but at the end of the day, to make the argument, and this legislation that you just pulled up mm-hmm. does not affect what's already been yes. put in place.
Fun fact, they're no longer in Colorado.
But it's seven states. They've done this yeah. in seven states.
Okay. Right? So as of right now, their website is still up. It's an 800 number to call them. They're in, just so you guys know, be aware, Washington, Seattle, Houston, Texas, Charleston, South Carolina, Portland, Oregon, Trenton, New Jersey, Delray Beach, Florida, and Hartford, Connecticut. What do you know? What do those towns tell you? What are those markets?
I mean, they're pricey markets.
They're needed markets.
Yep.
Yep.
Pricey markets.
Absolutely.
So yeah. So just as wow. a deal. So red flags. Number yes. one, offer for fast cash. Mm-hmm. If it's fast cash and they're saying we're going to give you something and we don't really need anything in return, red flag. Mm-hmm. Ask somebody.
Yep.
Right? Like, go do your research. I know it's going to sound
pick up the phone and call a yeah. random brokerage.
And there's a lot of people, dude, that I know, right, that are in financially distressed positions. Mm-hmm. And we talked about it 2 weeks ago on the podcast or whatever. I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago about credit card debt.
Yep.
And we're in the $2 trillion. You've got student loan debt. You've got mm-hmm. medical bills piling up. You've got insurance premiums. You've got people without insurance because they can't afford it. There are a lot of financially distressed individuals that it may seem like a lifeline. And we always talk about it, right? Owning a home is how you build generational wealth. Mm-hmm. Well, anytime you have wealth, you're always going to have people that are trying to take it away from you
yep.
unscrupulously, mm-hmm. right?
Ooh, what a ooh, word.
Hey. So yeah, offer a fast cash, right? Anytime they come out and say, hey, $1,500, just sign this. Use us as your realtor mm-hmm. whenever you decide to list the house. Our commission's very, 2%, no big deal. It's whatever, right? It's
also a heads up for wholesalers.
Right, I'm just saying in general.
Key
right?
thing. Mm-hmm.
Now, wholesale is a little bit different because they're not trying to
lock you in.
No,
I'm just saying. I just say wholesalers yes. because a lot of the time
due diligence
they're doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. They're looking for distressed properties, distressed people, and they're calling correct. And saying, "Hey, I'm going to offer you this cash right now."
Yes.
The reason I say it is any offer that you get on a home, anything, whether that's selling, buying, yes. whatever it is, that says, "I'm going to give you more than I am getting." Just
well, and here's the deal, right? Like, if you look at a real estate contract,
mm-hmm.
they're complicated. They're 20 pages long. People know that. People also know that that normal individuals are not going to take the time, energy, or effort to then take that contract, hire a lawyer, have them look over it, whatever it is. They just won't. People are lazy.
Human centipede.
It's right, exactly. Secondly, leading into that, second red flag, misleading or confusing contracts. Okay? If a company refuses to either provide a clear, plain explanation of the agreement and just say, no, just read it, this is standard, no, don't worry about it, proceed with caution. Look for excessively long terms, automatic renewals, clauses binding heirs to the agreement, and high exit fees. Those are the things that you want to take a look at. If anything, and I'm going to preface this, guys, and I tell my clients this all the time, if anything is unclear, ask questions.
Well, and
ask for clarification, because if somebody is in a fiduciary position and is tied and bound to do things in your best interest, they will take the time to explain it in layman's terms so that you have zero hesitation whatsoever.
Well, and I'll be flat up honest with you guys. Both of the transactions that I've been a part of have been friends of mine, right? So when I go to and I send them the buyer's agreement and say, hey, this is what this is, most of the time I'm telling them, hey, guys, this buyer's agreement just says that you work with me. The dates that I have under contract with you are this date to this date. And then I finish with, please feel free to read through it.
Yep.
And if anything pops out, let me know.
Now, and I usually go line by line.
Well, like, and that's what I mean. Ones, is right? Like, they have been friends.
Yes.
So it's been easier for me to do that.
Correct.
But I have been the agent to say, here it is. You know, trust me on it. Read through it if you want. But I did not break it down fully for them.
Yes.
And that's something that I could do better.
Yes.
100%.
Third one, long or difficult to exit terms, right? And specifically MV Realty, 40-year term. And they have a clause that ties the heirs to the property, even if the homeowner passes away. Be cautious of contracts that impose excessive penalties. Like, hey, you know what? If you do decide to go with somebody else, we're going to take XYZ amount or make it nearly impossible to exit without financial loss.
I just can't believe that the NAR lawsuit happens.
Dude, it's...
And it's still... And don't get me wrong. Like, I get it. 100%. I understand it. But the reason I say that is I can't understand that that happens. And then this, to where it's like, come on. Most realtors aren't going to that level.
No.
Like,
but there's always going to be people looking to take advantage. That's it, right? And this last one where it says excessive penalties for canceling or making it nearly impossible to exit without financial loss. That was a scenario I ran in with my client. And I'll just a very quick story where he signed what he thought was a home equity loan, but it was a home equity share loan, which meant, hey, we're going to give you $90,000 of your equity up front. You do not have to pay us back. You do not have to make monthly payments, and there is no interest on any sort of monthly payments. When you sell your house, we just want to share a percentage of the equity that you have gained since you got this loan. What they didn't disclose was there was no cap on the equity share portion. So what ended up happening was he took that $90,000, he used it to pay off very urgent medical bills to keep his head above water. He then decided to sell his house later, 3 years later, right? And that $90,000 deal that he would have to pay back gained interest over those 3 years at a rate, which is insane, of $8 a day.
That's
because wild. They just said, okay, well, if your home equity increases by 20%, we gave you the loan when the house was worth $480. Now the house, you're selling it for $575. We're not going to give you a equity share on, you know, just your price, it's what that is. So we want a percentage of not the equity, but the price of the house, a percentage on the 575, which turned out to be about $146,000, which meant this person went from selling their house and using their equity and making, call it 40 grand to walk away. His net sheet at the end of this, because there was literally no way to exit this contract other than declaring bankruptcy, he walked away with $100 on the sale of a home that he owned for almost 7 years. So be very, very aware.
Yeah, that's so. Just, I don't know. And it's one of those things where obviously some responsibilities go to the consumer on that.
Of course.
And
but that's also why they entrust some professionals.
Yes, exactly. And that's what I mean is it, in this position, as many people say they don't want to use a realtor, they won't use a realtor that sells. Realtors are the professionals in real estate sales.
Correct.
So even if, like, guy, and we say this all the time, it doesn't cost money to talk to a realtor.
Doesn't.
Even if you have a friend that is a realtor, yes, will they probably be a little butthurt that you're not using them? Yes. But Ask them questions. Yeah. It's free. And if anything, a realtor may charge you an hourly fee now.
Sure.
But I haven't seen anybody that's doing
it. Well, you know what's crazy about that? I've actually done that with friends. And
yeah.
And they've said, hey, you know what? We're looking at this commercial space, for example. I don't do commercial real estate. I went to refer them to somebody. Like, well, we just want you to come along and take a look at it, mm-hmm. right? And I go, okay, yeah, no worries. I can take a look at it. And I got asked, well, awesome. We do it, blah, blah. Thank you so much. Answered some questions, took some notes, whatever. And they go, what do we owe you? And I go, well, no, you don't owe me anything. I did this as a favor. And their response was, well, no, your time is worth something.
Yeah.
Number one, be that person, mm-hmm. right? But
regardless of what industry
you're in. But understand, if you have a relationship with a realtor, a good realtor that has experience, utilize it, right? Utilize it. And if they charge you, then understand that they just want to be compensated for the knowledge and the advice that they're giving you. Plain mm-hmm. and simple. It's just like calling a lawyer, right? You can't call a lawyer for free. It's $50 an hour for a consultation call, or $100 just to have a conversation for 30 minutes, whatever that looks like.
Yep.
But utilize that so that you guys aren't put in a position where you think you're going to make a certain amount in the house and you walk away with $100, or you think that you can use another person and you get slapped with a lawsuit for $20,000 that's now putting you in more financial distress than you were before. And there are people like that out there. Ask questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's, I don't know. And that's where it comes down to just, I think this is a good time for the One Rock takeaway.
Agreed.
And I think my One Rock takeaway, just from both of these articles and then just what's happening now as we're mm-hmm. going into a spot where more people are going to be distressed, more people are going to need to sell, and they're going to need the help for it. Guys, please just do your due diligence. Just like take just an extra 3 minutes. Think about it. Don't react to money. Because at the end of the day, yeah, that yep. what did he get, $90,000? He would have gotten, you know, more than that. If you didn't take it, just if it's flashing, if it's flashing money and they're throwing money at you and ease, hey, this is going to be easy and you're going to make money. Mm-hmm. Just put the brakes on for a second. Yep. Slow it down a little bit and call somebody you trust.
Yep.
If that's us, we'd love to talk to you. If not, just call anybody that you trust around the real estate industry.
Yeah. I'm going to echo that because I don't want to confuse the messaging.
Mm-hmm.
If it's too good to be true, it probably is, especially when it comes to finances, money, assets, all that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you guys have questions or it feels a little funky, reach out, free phone call. We can look over something. I can put you in touch with lawyers. Charlie can put you in touch with lawyers. We can give you guys resources to make sure that you're not making a decision that could set you back 20 years.
Mm-hmm. So. Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. All right. So I'm sorry. This whiskey is throwing me off a little bit. Okay, let's go ahead and move on to the whiskey review for today's episode. And on today's episode, if you guys are tuning in, you skip past it, whatever, we're drinking Bushmills Prohibition, and it's the Peaky Blinders made by...
My name's Charlie. I don't know what that is.
Hi, my name's Charlie. I don't know what that is. But no, it's blowing my mind. And the reason I say that, I had to look it up because this, like, you put... this and Jameson next to each other, both Irish whiskeys.
Yeah.
Nothing alike.
No.
Like.
Very different.
Jameson is very much an Americanized
yes.
Irish whiskey.
Yeah.
And this, to me, is probably the closest whiskey I've ever had to scotch.
Yeah. I mean, just, aside from like a single malt
yeah,
whiskey.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what so this is, and if you guys, just so you know, scotch is double distilled. Irish whiskey is triple distilled.
And it's
Scotch pot.
Yep. It's also, it's pot distilled.
Yes.
Which is very different.
Mm-hmm. And Scotch has to use,
the like peat.
100%.
Correct.
Weeded barley with, they don't have to use peat, but they use peat and they smoke it.
Yes.
So it tends to have a more bold, smoky flavor. But this one, I don't know, man. It's, every time I take a sip, the nose open, it's just sweet. Mm-hmm. Like 100% all the way through. Little to no burn, all honey sweetness on the nose. And for me, like that bite that I was talking about, that it so reminiscent of peat.
Yes.
From Scotch. I don't know. I mean, the fact that the bottle retail, at least on the website, is like $30. I could see this being like a game night, whiskey. Like, you have people over, it's not high proof.
You or like a, I don't know, Peaky Blinders watch party.
Yeah, watch party. There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right. Might have to do that there, bud. No, this one I could definitely see just like easy sipper. You want to have something a little bit different that is rooted in tradition. I think this is a good way to go. $30. I mean,
you're not going to make a mistake.
No.
Like, you're not going to buy it and be like, God, I can't believe I just spent $30 on that.
Even going to a bar.
Yeah.
Like this, I think this would lend itself really well to some kind of a cocktail.
Yeah.
Only because the flavor isn't, you know, smacking your face heavy, but that dryness at the end would complement an old fashioned or a Manhattan. Especially thinking whiskey and bourbon. But I want to get my nose in JC's glass. Fast. Get a taste of it. Because these glasses are not forgiving.
No.
Like, we talk about it they're often, not. But I mean, these are...
Yeah, you get the raw...
Large Glencairn glasses. Okay.
Same?
Yeah. A little bit more flat on the nose with JC's glass. And if you got... For everybody who's watching, JC's glass sits open at the whole episode to kind of as our control.
Yep.
Basically. Okay. And take a sip real fast. That's wild. Okay. So as you guys know, I usually do one pour and sip it throughout.
I do one pour as well. And then I do another pour.
JC's glass sits, doesn't get swirled, doesn't get touched, nothing. Significant difference in taste between my glass and that glass.
Ooh. So, I mean, I got the vanilla right up front.
Mm-hmm.
And a honeycomb.
Yep.
The citrus has faded away.
Yep.
Almost completely.
Yeah. And with mine, I'm swirling it.
And I feel like, I feel like the oils have settled a little bit, mm-hmm. so it's even heavier on the palate than when we started.
Yes.
It's very silky.
Mm-hmm. That's so crazy. And even, the nose, like mine is just that, all that spice that was there. And I don't get any of the spice on that one.
I'd get it on this.
Yeah, on the one that you're sipping, but not JC's.
Right up at the front.
Yeah.
But not here.
No.
Interesting.
That gives it a little bit of credibility to the complexity of the liquid. That's, yeah. I'm not gonna lie. I expected this to be flat.
Yeah,
just open, sitting, nothing there.
Yeah, huh. This tastes like a different whiskey than this.
Yes, it's wild. Interesting. That's why you got to control people. Leave the control.
I see this, like to me, maybe it's because the sun's out and it's getting warm, and I'm a warm weather person, right? This is a patio whiskey.
This is also a golf whiskey.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Yeah, easy sipper on a hot day. It's smooth.
Not heavy. It's smooth. Yep. It's light.
It has a sweetness to it.
100 proof. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to be dead by the back nine.
This would make a sick mint julep, too.
Yes, it would.
This would be a great mint julep.
I think this is more versatile than we initially gave it credit for.
100%. This, I will say
and
that.
And for $30.
Yeah, I will say that Bushmill, you taught me a lesson.
Yeah, no.
Definitely taught me a lesson. And honestly, for the price point, for what it is, I think I'm going to have to give it like a 3.8.
Yeah,
like a
3.6. Like 3.5, 3.6.
Yeah, because this is just price point, drinkability, story on it too. The fact that this is one of the original Irish whiskeys, like legitimately like 1500 distilled before it was even legal to distill, they were doing this. And don't forget, this is the what we're drinking is the Prohibition. So this is
the recipe.
The recipe. Yep. When they went legit, 1608.
You were hanging out with Thomas Shelby in London. In 1608,
is what you'd be
and
drinking.
He ordered, because that's also, which again, you have to watch, sorry, this is an aside, you have to watch Peaky Blinders for the purpose of the podcast, because Thomas Shelby's gang and their entire business was whiskey.
Yeah?
Because of Prohibition.
Okay.
In Europe. And then one of the greatest actors of all time, Tom Hardy, is a Jewish gangster.
I'll give you that.
And dude, you gotta watch it. You and Alicia would love it. Okay. I'm telling you. Just start from season one and go.
I'm also thinking, just like holding the bottle, this could do some damage. This is a pretty thick glass.
That's what I'm saying, bro. But no, their entire business was based on whiskey. That was the Thomas Shelby Company Limited was a whiskey distilling business.
Nice. Okay. All right. So we got a 3.6 and a 3.6.
I think we go 3.6.
Yeah. I think we go 3.6 across the board.
Yeah. I liked it. I was pleasantly surprised.
I was very, very surprised.
My expectations were very low.
But this is why we come to the Rouge, right? Even something that was pulled off the shelf randomly for today's episode, you know, it turned out to be good.
Yep.
And I'll be real with that. I wasn't expecting it.
No. That first look, I was like, ooh.
Yeah. Yep. I love the story, though.
Yeah.
Love the story. So if you guys want to try this, please make your way out to the Rouge Wine and Bourbon Bistro. They don't really have any current specials currently going on, but they always have cocktail specials and wine specials that you can come in, have a flight, do a tasting, whatever.
Also,
you...
it's summertime. This patio overlooking the Rockies.
Legitimately overlooking the Rockies.
Can't beat it.
It's beautiful.
Can't beat it, guys.
It's beautiful. Also, if you guys are realtors around the Colorado area that are top producing, please keep an eye out. Lifestyle International Realty will be having an event here.
April 9th.
April 9th between 5 p.m. and 8 p.m. And it will be, they'll have food, they'll have drinks, all that kind of stuff. And they're new to Colorado, so we want to show them a good time. And the Rouge is the perfect place to do that. But as always, guys, like we said, please, if you have anything come up, anybody's trying to make you sign a contract, reach out to us anytime, 24/7, RESOTR at themilehighperspective.com.
720-584-3361. You guys can also go on our TikTok page, which is the Mile High Perspective, the YouTube channel Mile High Perspective. You guys can leave comments. We're very active in that. We try and answer every single comment that we get.
Yep.
I've had DMs from people that have asked me questions based on some of the topics that we've discussed here that we have answered. So by all means, like, continue to reach out to us. Let us know if you guys are listening. Wherever you're listening, throw us a rating if you think we're providing value.
Yep.
Leave a comment, share it.
And hey, if you want to if you want to have a conversation with us, if you want to know where a good place to eat in Castle Rock is, or you want to know where a good place to get a drink up in Thornton is, that's Northern Colorado versus Southern Colorado, quote unquote Southern, but Southern Denver Metro. Reach out to us. We all have our own personal socials as well. Mine is Charlie Sardelli.
And mine is the Colorado Real Estate Guy.
You can find Oscar at Oscar the Realtor or OscarTheRealtor.com. And Oscar's been doing this for 20 years. Jameson and Oscar grew up here. They literally have places in their back pocket that you would never find if you were coming through. So please feel free to reach out. Another fantastic episode. Jameson.
Hey.
Appreciate you being here, man.
Dude, it's a good conversation.
Cheers.
For the people.
Cheers.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of Real Estate Served on the Rocks. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and really anywhere that you listen to podcasts. For the video version, subscribe to our YouTube channel at Living in Colorado, The Mile High Perspective. And to stay up to date with everything going on at the Rouge Wine and Bourbon Bistro, visit their website, therougewinebar.com.